A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Good morning to you, the beautiful land of the brave. Good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. So it is a Tuesday morning, the 10th of September, and the year is 2025. So thanks for joining us this morning. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. So, and it's a pleasure to have you this morning. And thanks for making that choice. Thank you for making Eagle FM and Eagle FM your choice this very morning. So my name is Mike Oshaveni, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matters, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, it's about 2 minutes past the hour of eight, and I will be with you from now on until at the top of the hour of 10 o'clock. So, where I will be handing over to another then Mr. Franz for Kuthamosha. So, yes, let's start off as we normally do. What is happening? What happened in the history of Africa on this day in Africa? So, on the 10th of September, and this is very interesting, on the 10th of September in 1960, the Ethiopian runner Abebe Bikila, if you have heard of him, Abebe Bikila, made history at the Rome Olympics. What did he do? He won the marathon barefoot. So he won marathon barefoot, becoming the first sub-Saharan Africa to win an Olympic gold medal. With barefoot, on barefoot, that's even a marathon. You know, setting a world record with a time of about 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 16.2 seconds. So, won the marathon on barefoot, my friend. All right, that's the Ethiopian runner Abebe Bikila in 1960. So, and if we go to Guinea-Bissau, so Guinea-Bissau officially declared independence from Portugal on 10th of September in 1974. So the country's long and hard fought liberation struggle, like any other of the African, you know, a country, was led by the African Party for the independence of Guinea and Cape Verde. So under Amilcar Cabral. So the other thing that helped is the Carnation Revolution in Portugal earlier in 1974. That also accelerated the decolonization process. So, and today, September the 10th, annually marks a World Suicide Prevention Day, a profound significant global observance dedicated to addressing the complex and often stigmatized issues of suicide. Now, the paramount purpose of World Suicide Prevention Day is to raise global awareness around the undeniable fact that suicide is preventable. Suicide is preventable. So this goes beyond simply acknowledging the problem. It aims to dispel the pervasive myths, reduce the profound stigmas often associated with mental health struggles and suicide ideations, and empower individuals, communities, and government to take a proactive steps. So today is World Suicide Prevention Day. And in the show, we will have also somebody to give us a little bit of what the day is all about and actually talk about this crisis, what actually President Kolso is a crisis in Namibia. So because we are topping in Africa, and that's not a good statistic. All right. So, yeah, and today is Tuesday. What is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? It's interesting. It is ignorance. It is ignorance that makes the rat challenge the cat to a wrestling fight. It is ignorance that makes the rat challenge the cat to a wrestling fight. So the Proverbs, the proverb conveys a very clear and a cautionary message. So foolishness lead one to confront danger far beyond their capacity, so often with a disastrous consequences. Now, instead of rushing into conflict, wisdom lies in recognizing one's limitation and choosing battles one can reasonably handle. Now, in essence, the proverb teaches caution, awareness, and humility. So advising people to recognize their limitation and avoid reckless confrontation that can lead to disaster. What actually the proverb says, be a coward. Okay? It saves your life. You know? You better be a coward in today's world. Be a coward, because otherwise you may lose your lives. So it is ignorance that makes the rat challenge the cat to a wrestling fight. Hopefully, that proverb and that thought of the day would help you in the choices that you're making today. That you are not a rat that challenged the cat to a wrestling fight. All right? So make sure that the choices that you make are coming from wisdom, by recognizing one's limitation and choosing the battles that one can reasonably handle. So, it is ignorance that makes the rat challenge the cat to a wrestling fight. So, that is our thought for the day today. So, good morning. If you're just joining us, wherever you are joining us from, we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And what you can expect today, what we have today in our show. So there are two stories that we want to focus on. There are two stories that we're following from our village, today's edition of The Villager. So plans for regional processing centers. You know, it's a very interesting story. That means, you know, processing centers are coming to every region. So we're going to go into that. You know, this is Unpacking the Days. So we're going to go into that story by Lois Shimi. And in between, by 9 o'clock, we're also going to speak to a clinical psychologist and also a doctor, medical doctor, on this, about the World Suicide Prevention Day. But we're focusing more on the Namibian crisis, you know. So make sure that around 9 there, you know, you tune in if you are very interested in discussing a bit of the factors that contribute to so many Namibians taking their own life. So make sure that you tune in from 9 o'clock. So, and if you still have time, we're also going to look at another article that's a very interesting that had that making headline in the Villager. So Namibia lacks up to date picture, you know, or data on the skills landscape. So, so it's looking at green hydrogen, and it's kind of like, are we ready? Do we have the people actually to do the work? So, and if you want to know, please stick around. We will definitely, you know, get into that if we have time on that. So, well, stay tuned. We will be definitely right back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, of course, you, it doesn't matter what it is. So whether it's a business conference, whether it's just a no, whether it's just an event celebrations, it doesn't matter which whatever, you know, events that you have. It could be a function, it could be a workshop, a conference. So make sure that you, if you want to advertise anything at all, and sometime if you want, you know, just to expose your business via a live streaming or broadcasting, just contact the office at 083-288-400. So that's a number you can call. And today, it is a when? Is it Tuesday? What is the day today? Oh my God! Seriously, what is? I'm confused. It's Wednesday. Oh, oh my good Lord. So I'm honestly, I was completely, let me just see, my calendar. It's a Wednesday. Jesus Christ. Completely thinking it's Tuesday today. I think I must have said it's a Tuesday morning. I think at the very beginning when I started. So it's a Wednesday morning. So why did I take you back? I'm really, 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 my mind is too slow today or what. So it's a Wednesday morning, and that's why I wanted to say it's a Wednesday morning, because the Villager is out also. So the today's edition is out, and if you're looking for those latest business and economic, you know, news, you know, get yourself a free copy of the Villager. It is free. Well, what you need to do is just simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, and you would be subscribed to the Villager. So, as always, the Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you will be getting your copy of the Villager. So, and please do follow us, follow Eagle FM and the Villager on our social media platforms. So we are on X, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp. So make sure that you engage us on those social media platforms and leave a like and also a comment, you know, and of many other things that that you find there. So, and the most important one, download the Eagle FM mobile app. So, and also the Imba. Those are our apps. So make sure that you download them. And the Eagle FM mobile app have a lot of things that you there are a lot of features that you can find on that app. So now, welcome. Our time is about 15 minutes past the hour of 8, and I will be with you. We're live from Ondangwa Studio, and I will be with you from now until 10 o'clock. So now, if you picked up, if you are the one who have actually, if you received your copy of The Village already, you saw the headline. It's a big one. Plans for regional processing centers mooted. You know, so when we talk about mooted, we're talking about proposed. So they are. So, well, it sounds, and this is, sounds like, for many of us, it sounds like music to our ears, you know? And our president, Netumbo Nandindaitwa, Demphelila Nandindaitwa, has unveiled a plan to set up processing centers or industries, if you like. So processing centers or industry in every single region of our beautiful country. So setting up centers, this processing center in every single region in this country. Now, the idea is very simple and also powerful, actually, if you have to think about it. So it's very simple. Most of our people live in the rural area. So let's take development to the people. Okay? Let's identify what each region does best. That's what she said, and that's what the article said. So the president said, let's identify what each region does best. And maybe, let's say, for example, it is Mahangu in the north, cattle in Omaheke, fish in Erongo, and then build a small factory or a plant right there to process it. So that's the idea. That's the plan. So identify what each region does best. What is your region? What does your region does best? So that's what you need to identify. And then, okay, I don't know whether in the north is Mahangu. And, of course, you know, Maheke. Cattle could be, you know, that's something, you know, in Omaheke. Or fish is obvious in Erongo. So then what you do, build a small factory or plant, processing plant, right there to process it. That's the idea. That's what the president says. What is the goal of that? So the goal is actually to create jobs. It's to create jobs, especially for the youth. It's also to drive real change in our communities, because most of our people live in the rural areas. It's also to drive change in our communities. And the big one, achieve self-sufficiency in food production. So that's the main one. And no more import tons of basic food when we can actually grow and process it ourselves. Eh? Honestly, who can argue with that vision? Who can argue with that vision? It is exactly what we want to hear from our leaders. It is positive, it's ambitious, it speaks directly to the bread and butter issues that affect every single Namibian family. But, you know, there was a bad coming. Here, on Unpacking the Day, we don't just read the headlines, we read between the lines. So, the question we are asking from this article about this plan is this a brilliant, practical roadmap to a prosperous Namibia? Or is it another beautiful plan on the paper as others that might struggle to survive, that might actually struggle to survive its very first contact with reality. If that comes in contact with reality, would it survive? Let's unpack it. That's what we're now going to unpack. All right. So, now, let's get into the meat of this story. The first thing we need to acknowledge is the context. All right? So, the announcement was made at a very important gathering. So, the annual meeting of traditional leaders. That's where the announcement was made. Why is that important? Because our traditional leaders are the the custodians of our communal land. So you cannot set up a factory or a farm or even a small SME in a village without their blessing or cooperation. So that was very important. So I think, and the president actually, the president is actually being smart here. I think the president is being smart. So she's bringing the traditional authorities on board from day one. So kind of like from the very beginning. That's kind of, as I said, this is smart. From day one, you're bringing in the traditional authority, calling them partners in development. So she's saying, work with us. Give us the land. We will bring you the progress. That's what she's talking about. And the article, for that matter, the article mentioned a specific example, Hompa Sofia Kanyetu of the Sambu Traditional Authority, who make land available for watermelon processing facility. It can be done. It possibly can be done. You know, the Hompa Sofia Kanyetu of the Sambu Traditional Authority made a land available for a watermelon processing facility. So that's fantastic. It's great. It's also mentioned, the article also mentioned leaders in the Zambezi region availing land that was underutilized. Okay, so the articles also mentioned that, you know, the Zambezi are availing land that was underutilized. And I think that's right there. It's where we're going to start. Underutilized. Okay? Who defines underutilized land? Now, we're talking about the Zambezi region here. Okay? Now, if you speak of a government planner in Windhoek with a map, so a government planner now in Windhoek with a map, a piece of land might look empty. So this is a government planner in Windhoek and looking at the map and said, well, this piece of land is empty. Okay? It's underutilized. But for the community living there, okay, for the community that is living there, the same land could be a very crucial grazing for their cattle, a place for gathering wood, firewood, you know, because that's very important for them. Or a land, well, they could have reserved for their children. You never know. So that's why I said, who defines that underutilized land? So from someone who is in the capital thinks that it's unused land, but for the community, it's not unused. It's not underutilized. So, and here's the question, maybe for us to debate. Okay? So, when we talk about availing land for a big project, now, so how do we make sure that the small-scale farmer, the cattle holder, the person whose livelihood actually depends on that land, actually that person, it doesn't get pushed aside. So whatever the land that you are availing, because I have even an example of not far away. I live in Ongwediva, but the village near Ongwediva, Matando, Onawa, or Kanchengedi, you know, those, Ekuku, those were actually, there were villages there. Okay? So, and then development came. Now, the person who has a field, okay, let me give an example of my own, of my, this is really now an example of my own, experience, not experience, but what happened to where we were living. I'm from Onawa, okay? And this has become, is an area where now the old Amungambia's location has now been moved to our village, okay? So you remember where they were saying, you know, there's a certain part that will be, there will be held, there will be building houses, there will be, it was actually a fund, either from China or from, I don't know what, which country it was from, to build actually houses for the police officers and teachers and things like that, you know, for the professionals. Now, those houses are built in our field where I grew up, where I was born. You understand? In our field. So that field could actually take about 200 or 300 houses. Okay? That's as big as that. But how much is actually has been paid? How much were we compensated for that field? Which now can actually contain about two to three hundred houses. So it's less than half a million. Believe me, it's less than half a million. Now, my question of asking this is coming from these practices that when we talk about availing land now for big project, how do we make sure that that small, whoever was there now, in terms of now we're talking about in the rural areas, this is where you have your probably your small scale farmers, is where you, people are actually looking after their cattles. So the person who's, there are those whose their livelihood actually depend on that land. Do you just push them aside? And when you push them aside, do you compensate them enough so that, you know, their life is still, it improved, or you make it worse? I can tell you much of the people who have been paid around there, around when the town developed, their life has improved, actually become worse. So the question is the benefit from a new factory guaranteed to be greater than the benefit the community was already getting from the land? So that's a judgment that we need to make. It's delicate balance. It has to be that delicate balance. Does it mean the benefit from a new factory, you know, guarantee to be a greater, does it guarantee that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be greater? Think of the people who have been there. So let's say, for example, you know, now you remove people who used to graze there, you know, who used to many things, they were depending on that land, and you put up a factory that only employed about 20 people. And now you destroyed, you know, the livelihood of about, you know, how many households? Let's say, for example, 50 or 60 or 70, you know, a household, and a number of people there, maybe it's 100 or 200. So the new factory, does it guarantee the benefit? Is it greater than what the community already getting from the land? So, and I'm not saying it's an easy answer to think about. And let's be honest, and we have to talk about the also, on this, when we look at the article, we also need to look at the political timing. Okay? So we are in election year. You know what is the election year like? You know, an announcement like this, promising a factory in every region, think critically, in every region, is a very powerful message. So it tells voters in Opuo, in Katima Mulilo, in Kitmansop, we see you, We haven't forgotten you. Development is coming to your doorstep. So that's a message. So, is it a genuine policy push or a well-timed campaign promise? Well, maybe it is both. It could be a genuine policy push. It could be a genuine policy push or a well-timed campaign. Could be both. Yeah? But as citizen, it is our job to remember. It's our job actually to remember these promises now. We are being promises about a factory, processing factory in each region, 14 of them. So it is our responsible to remember. It's our job to remember these promises after the poster. You know, those posters of election app. After the poster come down and the voter counted, it is our responsibility. It's our job to remember these promises. So, now, the idea of industrialization and value addition is not actually something new, okay? You remember I had a discussion with Dr. Omo, or what did I have on the show that day? So this idea of industrialization and value addition is not new. It's not a new idea. In fact, it is the cornerstone of our biggest national blueprint. That is the cornerstone of our biggest national blueprint. What is our blueprint? From Vision 2030, from Vision to 2030 to Harambe Prosperity Plan, we have been talking about this for decades. It's not something new. So, and that's where we need now. That's where now we need a reality check. What have, you know, we have to look at our track record. We need to reality checks. And sometimes when we do this, when we do on unpacking the days, we kind of, it's a reality check. Yes, we hear all these promises. Okay, it's good. And hopefully that happens. And we trust that probably it's going to happen. But we have a track record. Let's look at our track record. So, for example, the president was talking about, in the story here, you know, the president is talking about the green schemes, which actually the president praised in the article for their recent progress. Now, the president actually praises the green scheme for their recent progress. Well, it's great to hear there is improvement. That's one thing that we want to hear. We should be excited to hear that there is improvement. But for years, many of these multi-million dollar farms were not running at full potential. They were not running for years. They were not running at full potential to the capacity they could have. So, some were struggling with management, others with finding markets. Some were barely breaking even. So, heavily reliant on government bailouts all the time. So the president herself acknowledged in the article, she acknowledged visiting them last year and feeling disappointed. So that's why I'm asking, let's look at our track record. So with our track record, should we get excited all of a sudden now, you know, because our track record is not good. Now, think about this, and I want you to put this in perspective, okay? So, if we struggle to run a dozen of these large farms efficiently for decades, if we struggled to run these farms efficiently, what is our plan to successfully now run multiple processing centers in 14 different regions, each with its own, you know, with its own unique logistical challenges. Imagine that there will be logistical challenges. Now, that's my question now. That's what I want us to think. As I said, when I said, think of our track record. Is there something new? Do we see something different? If we have, if you haven't changed the system, if you haven't changed the people, if you, you know, you may change a little bit of the leadership on the leadership level, you know, you may change that. And we have done over the years. So my question is, if we struggled to run, you know, these schemes before, eh? Just a few of these, a dozen of these, if we struggled really to run them efficiently, what is it, what is our plan to successfully now run multiple processes, you know, these centers, process centers in 14 different regions? And I want you to think the logistic challenges that now come with that. So compared to just this few, you know, this few large farms that we have. Okay? Now, and it is not just, and it's not just about, it's not just the green scheme that we're talking about. Some of you remember, the Rama textile factory in Windhoek? It was supposed to be a massive job creator. Thousands of jobs were promised. You remember? Thousands of jobs were promised. And to be honest, for a while, it worked. For a while, it worked. But then it closed down, leaving a huge, huge vacuum and probably a hard lesson as well. So now, what we learned that attracting investment is one thing, really. Attracting investment could be something easy to do. I'm not saying it easy, but creating a sustainable long-term industry is completely a different ballgame. Tell us what happened. What happened to our green scheme? So we may pump in money now again, and then 3 or 5 years later, still kind of like, well, we still have the machines that, you know, we might put in new technology. And then if we don't have people who can repair them, how do we end up? We end up still, oh, no, that machine has been lying there for, we couldn't do the harvesting because the machine has been, hasn't been repaired for several months or you understand? What is different? What is the blueprint? Okay? So, and the most emphasis here is creating a sustainable long-term industry. So it's not just about sometimes throwing money to a problem and hoping to have an immediate impact, but in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you offer, if it's not sustainable, your job creation is also not sustainable. These people have only a job for 2 years or 3 years, and then they lose the job. Now, here's my challenge, okay? I'm challenging the plan. So, and I'm challenging you to think. So, now, what have we learned from the struggles of the green schemes and the failure of a project like Ramatex that now will apply, okay, that we will apply now to make sure that these regional centers, these regional processing centers don't become expensive white elephant. Because there are lots and lots of government, you know, infrastructures that are white elephants that are not being used in different sectors. So that's what I'm asking. So, and that's what I said, I'm challenging the plan. Okay? What have we learned from that struggle of the green scheme and Ramatex project? So that we will apply now to make sure these processing centers don't become, you know, ghost elephant or whatever, white elephants in those communities. So now the article, well, of course, the article doesn't give us the how. Right? The article doesn't give us the how. It's statement of what we want to do. So it's just stating of what we want to do, but it's not how we want to do that. So, and you know the usual things that I ask, you know, things that you may start thinking. As I said, sometimes you're told this is what's gonna we do, and we say amen. Hallelujah. Huh? But this is the program that helps you to think a little bit. So now yesterday we were talking about, we talked about the report, the auditor's report. So now my question also now when I ask that question and challenge this is, where is the money coming from? The national budget is already stretched. You know, it's already really stretched thin. It's really stretched thin. So, are we looking at private investors? So we're looking for private investors actually to invest in this, processing centers. If so, what are we offering them? So what is that we're offering? To set up a factory. For example, to set up a factory in a remote area, maybe with poor roads. We were talking about, what was that in Kavango West? What was that? Did I talk about it here? Or I didn't get a time to talk about. Yeah, so there is, what was that? No, we talked about that making, Chimagumwe woodwork, something that we talked about, okay? You remember, yeah. So now, what I'm asking is that, what is that we're offering now the private sector? If we want the private sector to actually invest in this factory, if it's somewhere in a remote area where maybe there aren't electricity, you know, or electricity is not reliable in that place, and poor road infrastructure. So what are we offering? Where are the skills? That's, we have one of our stories that I'm also willing to look at, you know, if we have time, that I'm also willing to look at. So where are the skills? Do we have enough trained food technologists, factory managers, quality controllers in every region? Or will we have to import skills? Do we have to import skills? Then, which actually defeat the purpose? It would defeat the part of the purpose. And what about the basic? You can't run a process plant without consistent electricity and reliable water supply. And we all know the challenges we face with this. So even in our own towns, I'm not talking about a processing plant. Even in our own towns, we have problems. How will we guarantee this in the most rural part of country? Well, maybe for you, it's something that you know, that's going to be smooth. There won't be any challenges. Even there are challenges. How do we deal with those challenges? So, yeah. These are not, I think these are not negative questions. They are not negative questions. These are necessary questions. A good plan must have a good answers to them. All right? Or maybe you do have the answers. So,
Titanium, the perfect.
perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Ah, lovely, my brother.
Mmm.
The weather's up and down. Sometimes it's too cold. Sometimes it's too hot.
It windtook?
The windtook, my friend.
Seriously?
Like this morning, you see, it's cold, man.
Yeah.
Oh, because maybe I wake up so late. I don't know. That's how we do. I'm not dropping the kids to school anymore. Yeah, maybe it's that the reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, Mike.
Mm.
About your question and answers.
Yeah.
My brother, I think you know this. Sometimes when it's time for election, everybody can say anything. Sort of things.
Yeah.
You remember that they still always an explanation when it comes to soccer field.
Yeah.
Which are supposed to be constructed by what? Defense.
Mm.
Up to now, we never see anything going on in the region.
Yeah.
And now you wonder, because the money is allocated is there already. But in the ground, nothing is going on.
The irony is that, you know, we will be building stadium in every region, but
exactly.
we have our national team playing outside of the country.
I'm telling you, and it's been 5 years now. Even we are talking.
Yeah.
We are going to fix the Independence Stadium. We already allocated the money. It's just a waiting of the tender. What? 5 years, my friend.
And we couldn't even have lost.
No, no, we cannot lose that game.
If it was home. You know?
We can just beat Malawi. We're supposed even to extend the chance already, like maybe.
Yeah.
Because Tunisia already won the group stage.
Yeah.
Maybe we are supposed to be even the already second. Secure, we know already. Mm. We, before even we face Tunisia, we know that we are secure in the second place. We can go and play playoff.
Yeah, but we still have that chance, yeah.
Yeah, we still have a chance, but you never know. Liberia also, they want to make sure, because it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mike, your question and answer is seriously, we need a strictly answer.
Yeah.
Not just something you come up and you damage like we can run around.
Mm.
Like a race, we celebrate. Oh, yeah, we are doing well. We are coming up with a processing factory. But the thing is that when you look at the people who are selling us dream, like now they are going to establish what mythical in what Omshati, Etunda.
Mm.
Killing what? How many cattle? 2,000 cattle every day. A day.
Yeah, that's
My answer, yeah. You know the question I was asking last time when you were hearing that? I said, no. Where are you going to get those cattle?
Yeah, on a daily basis. 1,000 cattle. On a daily basis.
Hey, how? Where?
Where are you going to get those cattle? From the community, from my kids.
That's what I'm saying. We are just small kids. Even the small kids, they get tired of diamond. If you promise every day, like, you know, I'll buy you ice cream. You come there, you didn't even bring a sweet, but you're always talking about ice cream.
But sometimes it's short-sighted. It might not be treating life like kids, but it's just short-sighted. So someone come up with an idea, and someone, without really going deep, you know.
Yeah,
I'm giving an example, for example. If you read an article now, you go through it, and you don't question much. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, my job is to analyze this article. So I may bring up certain things that you, when you read it, you don't even pay attention to. You understand?
Exactly. It's wrong.
Yeah. And you put that in a bigger picture when you come to project ideas and things like this. Someone brings you an idea who have actually then convincing you this is the way to go. But you don't really have either people who can look at that and said, is this viable? Is there, can be this sustained, you know? Mm. And you may not even know the region. Yeah, you know, you just, okay, that's, and you are not a farmer, you're not whatever.
Yeah,
you're kind of somebody, kind of, this would generate, you know, employment. Yeah. And
thousand of employment.
So
the money will be then circulating in the region.
In the meantime, we can talk about Ramatex. It's an example. It's a practical example. Mm. We can talk about the green scheme. It's exactly that. We have been supporting the green scheme. Has it lived to the potential? No.
Not at all. You know, Mike, the problem is here. Sometimes when you are putting up an article like that, and the person who see, even like me, because maybe I've been around Eager FM now,
yeah,
we have to question it, like, okay, like in Angwena, come from Angwena now, okay. Now, maybe they are going to put it where? Ranafidi, or Enana, or Congo. Okay, and then you look, electricity itself.
Exactly.
How many times we have say, a blackout when we come to Ranafidi?
Yeah.
People meat being spoiled in the fridge because Ranafidi, the electricity cannot keep up. Every time it's problem. Okay, then you look. Maybe Ranafidi is better because the network is okay. What about Okongo?
Yeah.
Where the network is jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the road? Okay. Maybe the road is okay there, but we still have a lot of potholes when we're driving through Enana.
What about the market, you know?
What about the market even, yeah. Those are genuine question we have to ask ourselves.
Because you will have a competition with South African producers.
Exactly, yeah.
Eh?
And then you think about it like even, okay, now we are talking about the staff. How many dispatches we train?
Mm.
We are just here? Yeah? Okay, now, okay, how many quality controllers are there? What about the people who have been in processing? Do we have those people already in the place, or are we going to train them after we establish the factory?
Mm.
It's supposed to be done. It's supposed to be already now.
Yeah.
Already.
I think what we're doing is that when you hear
people.
Yeah, when you hear an announcement like that, and
yeah,
you have all and you have all these questions. Some people can listen to you or listen to me now and said, well, are you against the processing of
exactly. That's why everybody will say no.
That's
you guys are too negative.
Yeah.
You are too negative, but it's not.
That's not
because
about.
Doesn't make sense.
That's not
for
about
me, that's
against. It's not about you are against that. It's just okay. Now, okay, if this is going to happen, what about this? Have we done this? Because we also said, the only thing that I said, let's look at our track record. Our track record is not good at all. You know?
Not at all.
Yeah. And you can think of, now, I don't know how people dismiss things. Look at our 2030. Can we just, how much of we have achieved of 2030? Is it 20%? Or is it 30%? Or is it 90% of what we plan to do? And now, should we just dismiss that? Okay, we didn't do anything.
We just leave it. We are starting over.
Let's start. You're going to go to make the same mistakes because you haven't even, evaluated. Why? And this is the problem with people that are not being critical. They are the one who actually get us in trouble. Because if they are in the position of power, they just, you need to help even your president to say, well, we can't have a refinery, you know, oil refinery in Namibia because that's even three times of our national budget.
Very expensive.
It's very expensive. How do we have to do that? So maybe we have to fund, and then therefore we don't just, let's have a refinery, we're going to have a refinery. It's not possible. You know, it is possible, but then you have to come up with a different methodology. Maybe three or four countries can be part of the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
So those are the things. And people said, you know, when you start now being critical to say, Ben, where do you go? Where do you going to get that money? And Are you being negative? You don't want this to be done.
But
but it's not gonna be done because you don't have money.
And even if it's a foreign investment, when they are coming in, what are we going to offer them?
Yeah. So those
because
are
just because they remember there's no money for Mahala. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Even you say this is what NGO, what non-government or what non-profit, what
non-profit organization. Yeah.
Do you think those people they just give you money for nothing or they just come to what?
No, somebody's profiting from that. Wherever they get money,
they're profiting.
Yeah. So wherever they get money, it's coming from somewhere, you know?
I'm telling you, and that money have to retain.
Yeah.
It have to retain because that's the way you see me. Kind of like what, Ukraine, they are going to find themselves in debt because
of course
they've been supported, but you know who's benefiting at the end of the day? Going to be always again. It's America.
Army companies.
The Ghana army companies from America.
Army companies are benefiting. Definitely. Do you think they want war to stop?
No.
You know.
They're benefiting. How can I say war to stop is benefiting?
It's like the war in Gaza or something like it, in Palestine.
Exactly.
So there are many stakeholders in that. Yeah, it's not just about between Israel and whatever and the Gazans.
No.
Yeah. So some other bigger people are benefiting from that.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, we, as a Namibian, sometimes we need to start to come to the term with our reality.
Yeah.
Because we are trying to paint a good picture to, how can I say, to the guy who are having money.
Yeah.
And they are like, no, we can do this, we are doing this. Just imagine that now you are putting up, right, a mythical.
Mm.
Then, now you are saying 1,000 decatur. Okay, and then I'm telling, now, like, I'm suggesting, what about now we start training our people in the north? They say, no, we train you, we give you the resource of the cattle to start work. Then after 5 years, guys, I'll just give you after 5 years.
Mm.
I gonna want you to supply me with cattle.
Yeah.
After we give them a training about how to grow even feeders, how to go your animal to grow fast and what all those things I needed.
Mm.
Now we're also about to talk about even water problem also having.
Yeah.
Now you have to come up with irrigation, how to grow fodder with irrigation, because you remember that our agriculture depends on what? Cross finger.
Yeah.
We do cross finger farming because we never know if the rain will be up to date that time. We just pray.
Yeah.
Hoping that the rain will come. Then the rain doesn't come. Then what happens? We lose our seeds.
Yeah.
So, if we come up with irrigation, where we keep the water. Because remember one thing, that those, like Omushati, or Angwena, or Shkoto, they always receive, sometimes they receive, if it's not a drought this year, then the next year it will be a drought.
Yeah.
What about keep the water? Then we start the irrigation farm. Then we are talking about now mythical.
Mm.
Because you already train people how to do to grow feeders when there's no, so our animal cannot die for hunger.
Yeah.
And also disease prevention and what so on. Then now, after 5 years, people they recover. They have a growing animal. We're giving them a training. Yes, mythical will come. 1,000 a day cattle to be slaughtered.
Yeah.
That would be possible. But now we are talking about where? Did you see our animals are big?
Yeah, I'm,
even when it comes to meat.
I mean, you're talking us. I have few cattle, so what it means. And I'm not preparing, I mean, if it was that there's an event that happened, I can go now to Mitko and say, hey, can I sell this? So it's only when something is happening, you know.
Yeah.
You also have to understand the traditions of this part of the world. So we are not commercial farming and we don't just sell our animals like on a daily basis.
Exactly.
You know.
I know.
And how many of those, I mean, there are more cattle on this side. Of course, there are more cattle on this side than on the other side. So, but how many of that, anyone willing actually to sell that on a daily basis? So there's a thing coming up, and hopefully, yeah. So thanks, man, for coming through.
All right, man.
Yeah.
The International University of Management, IUM, is excited to announce that applications for the 2026 academic year are now open. Explore a wide range of qualifications across our dynamic faculties and school. Faculty of Environmental Management and Sustainability Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences, Faculty of Information and Communication Technology, Faculty of Strategic Management and Business Administration, School of Primary Education, School of Secondary and Postgraduate Education, Postgraduate Studies, and the Graduate School of Business. Whether you are in Windhoek, Kurunkuru, Enana, Ongwediva, or Walvis Bay, your future starts at IUM. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. Go ahead, make the right choice, and step into your future with IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right, welcome back.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Can you hold on? Can you just call after
I... I'll just hold on.
No. I'm going to... I have an interview at night, ne? I said, can you call after that interview?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. So I'll quickly I have a guest that I'm going to talk to, and this is about the today's we're observing the World Suicide Prevention Day. So just have a little bit a discussion with a clinical psychologist and a doctor, a medical doctor, on the issue of suicide. Well, stay tuned. Let's see if we can get to our guest this morning.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Igelefe Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aj. Igelefe Media
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and...
A very good morning, and today is the World Suicide Prevention Day. The theme for World Suicide Prevention Day 2025 is changing the narrative on suicide, and this is very relevant to Namibia as we face a significant mental health crisis with suicide rates among the highest in Africa. In the 2023-2024 financial year, 542 individuals died by suicide, with men accounting for 82% of these cases. Now, the national suicide rate stands at 9.7 per 100,000 people, placing Namibia at the top in Africa. So these aren't just numbers. They represent our family members, our friends, our neighbors, you know. And to understand this crisis better, we need to talk openly, challenge the silence, and learn how we can help. And on the line, I have Elsebe. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So
today is the, we're observing the World Suicide Prevention Day. So, now, how serious is the suicide, issue of suicide in Namibia right now?
Yes, Mike, as you have already alluded to it, we are the highest in Africa, and that is a very great concern. It's a very grey, grim picture, and you read about suicide every single day.
Yeah.
We just recently had also one of our very well-known musicians dying by suicide.
Yeah.
And the term that we use is actually dying by suicide and not committing. Committing is I commit a crime, I commit adultery.
Yeah.
But with suicide, we die by suicide. So it's a very serious, serious problem that we are facing with. Mm. And this time of the year is when it happens most. Yeah, from August, early August onwards, we hear daily about suicide. So it's a serious, serious concern. Impacting our lives, changing our lives forever.
Yeah. So now, from your professional experience, has the situation changed, let's say, for in the last 5 years? Is it getting better or worse?
It's definitely getting worse because we still treat suicide as if it is not a problem. We still tell people that... we don't show them the care. We don't show them that we are serious about assisting them. So we still make assistance. I don't care. You can go and hang yourself.
Yeah.
We still think that suicide is not real. But though it is very real until we are infected. So we still take it quite very lightly. And that is why it is not changing.
So many Namibian faces tough, really tough economic times. How much do things like unemployment, poverty, you know, how much of that actually contribute to this crisis?
Hugely. Absolutely hugely. Poverty is part of the problem. Financial distress, financial pressure is part of the problem, especially men kill themselves because of financial stress.
Yeah.
Distress. And also other things like loss, grief, and even losing somebody by suicide. It's like it becomes a snowball effect.
Mm.
Also, depression, major depression is the number one contributor, cause of suicides.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of contributing factors. Actually, what is happening these days, it's that people are so down and we don't value ourselves, our lives. So what happens is still that we have an argument with somebody. Then somebody dies, kills themselves by suicide. So even the causes has changed because it doesn't have to be huge issues anymore. It can just be... something small that that triggers somebody.
Yeah.
Triggers somebody to feel not loved, not worthy, not important, not significant. So much so to be willing to take their own lives.
So, in your experience, what are the most common mental health maybe struggle? What are those people going? What are the common mental health struggle? Maybe like depression or anxiety that you see actually leading to suicidal thoughts?
Yes, definitely depression. Like I said, anxiety, grief. Like I also mentioned, post-traumatic stress disorder. So people that really experience traumatic events. Also bipolar is another one, the mood disorder. Then we also have personality disorder. For instance, borderline personality disorder. So there's personality, but there are also significant of disorders and substance use.
Yeah.
Drugs, marijuana, cocaine, alcohol. you know, that those are also contributors, because it makes people vulnerable and more daring to actually, and to be more emotional also during those times.
And what about family and relations problems, relationship problems? How significant a trigger are they in our experience?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's very, very important. So it plays two roles. It can be part of the problem because we are very destructive people. We don't lift each other off, up. And that's the one leg. So we always say, ah, we don't care. You can do whatever. You are not good enough. Oh, did you already go and drink again? You will never change. So those negative remarks that we are so commonly spreading around. Versus the other one that is the positive role. The supportive role, where we show that we love each other. We were here in the sitting center. I'm from Vela Psychology Services and Valor Wellness Retreat. I'm the CEO there. And we went out to the street this morning. We dressed up in little tutus and yellow. And we gave information to people with a little lolly in the yellow ribbons. And all that we did is said, yo, you matter. You are loved. You are important. Choose life. Live. Have a wonderful day. And people were so willing to open their windows to receive what we wanted to give them. There was nobody who looked at us funny. And they were so grateful for the information. They really lit up. And the aim was to spread this love and this joy and this happiness broader. And I think we did that successfully.
Okay. Now, for the parents and friends and probably even teachers or whoever listening, what are the most common warning sign we might miss, you know, for someone who may be thinking of suicide?
The most common warning signs are when somebody starts to withdraw themselves. So they are more alone in their rooms. They are not as chirpy and social as they used to be. When they say, I don't want to be here, life is not worthy, I want to die, those are the cues. We shouldn't ignore them. Also, when they start to give away prized possessions. When they, so there's very distinct behaviors that actually can be signs that somebody is suicidal. Also, that somebody says, you know, I'm so worried, things are never changing.
So the other things then, maybe you can explain this, the difference between someone making a threat and someone who is at immediate risk. So how do we make that difference between someone who's just making maybe a threat? Because people tend to think, you say this many times or whatever the case may be. So so what is the difference between someone who's making a threat and someone who's at risk, at immediate risk?
There's a distinct difference. Actually, when people say that they don't love, they don't want to love anymore. Also, when they have self-destructive behaviors, so there's already self-harming present when they have tried it before. So we also need to find out if there's a plan. Is it, are it only thoughts? Is a plan? So we need to consider the severity. So and that is where the open talk comes. You ask. We cannot run and make it off as it is not important. We need to ask and we need to engage and have a serious conversation.
Elsa? Are you still there? I can't hear. I can't hear you anymore. Are you still there? What's gone wrong? All right. Let me just quickly call you back and see if we can conclude our discussions. Yeah, so but it's because I can't hear you anymore. All right.
What's happening?
Omutiha, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Safas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango got some money. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangeka, Faithanina, Omaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House, where 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwe po yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. Do we have you back? Can we hear you? Can I?
Yes, I'm okay. Back. Yeah, I'm back. Right.
No, thank you. Now, so one other things that that also maybe people ask is that are there a warning sign different in a teenager compared to an adult?
I think so. The teenagers are much more discreet.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes they can be involved in drugs.
Yeah.
And the parents don't know about it. So they are hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so they rather talk to their friends. And the friends don't have, and you know, whether it's not good friends or just the fun time friends, the fun time friends are even worse because they are not necessarily there for the teenager.
Yeah.
But they talk to the friends, and the friends do not necessarily have to, they are not equipped to support.
Yeah.
So they, because of their fears, and also because the parents are actually quite busy these days, we think it's more important for us to provide and material stuff, and we are not so much there emotionally for our kids, so we often miss the signs.
Yeah.
But there's a distinct difference. The teenagers, we think that they don't have real issues.
Yeah.
So we think that if a boyfriend or a girlfriend hurts me, that, it's okay.
Mm.
But that's also why teenagers couldn't take their life, for instance. So for adults, it's other type of stressing issues.
Yeah.
Also like work, also relationships, stress, financial stress, like we have already mentioned some of the causes.
Mm.
And so they will also have a friend, but they can also seek professional help. The teenagers are very much dependent on the parents to know that the child is struggling. So they don't immediately grab the child when the child gets drunk to the psychologist.
Yeah. Mm.
So in the workplace, people are at least in workplaces where they have good friends that may at least alert somebody else.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And then they can perhaps access. I'm not saying it is like that.
Mm.
But the teenagers, for me, is a higher risk because they speak less than the adults.
Than the adults, yeah.
Yes.
Now, quickly, if we suspect a friend or a loved one that is suicidal, for example, okay, what is the most important first step to take?
The first step is to talk to the person, to calm the person down and make the person feel valid.
Mm.
So I hear you. And just motivate the person and say, yes, I understand. So we don't belittle or invalidate what the person is feeling, and that is what we so often do.
Yeah.
So what we can also do, depending on the severity of the risk, we call for help immediately. We even have to call the police if we have to.
Mm.
So we can call an ambulance service. We can call Lifeline Childline. There's social workers and psychologists all over.
Yeah.
But the immediate step is to talk to the person while you are trying to get help.
Mm.
Yes.
All right.
So we don't leave such a person alone.
Yeah.
And if you are aware, then we would stay with the person. Like if a suicide person comes to me, then we keep the person safe until we call family members or until we get them admitted into the hospital, for instance. Even at the facility at Valor Wellness Retreat, if a person is highly suicidal, we don't let them sleep alone. Then they, for instance, have to share a room. So they are being watched throughout the night because we are not willing to take that risk, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but talk and make them feel heard, make them feel validated.
Yeah.
And ensure them that they matter, that they are loved.
Yeah. So, maybe not the very second last question. What are some unhelpful things people say that we should probably absolutely avoid?
Yes, to avoid is to say, that's not so bad.
Mm.
Mm, that is not so bad. You will feel better tomorrow.
Mm.
And also, just to, like I said, belittle or invalidate what people are going through.
Yeah.
We also avoid leaving the person alone. Definitely we ask, we care, and we escort. We call that the army, for instance, is an ACE, A-C-E. So we ask, we care, and we escort, for instance. But we definitely, the don'ts are definite that we, the most important is invalidate the person's feelings.
Yeah, yeah.
So we say, pull yourself together, man up. Mm. Things will work out.
Yeah.
That doesn't make the person feel heard. For instance, so there's actually a long list of don'ts what we should not do, like make unrealistic statements,
yeah,
be harsh, angry, or judgmental. Those are definitely, be afraid of asking about suicide thoughts is another one. And many clients are actually happy to answer such questions.
Mm.
So also, I have already said, don't leave a high-risk client or family member or friend unattended.
Mm.
And we should stay calm. We cannot panic. We cannot panic.
Yeah.
We engage them and we say that they are important and encourage them to take the first step to get some help or to trust somebody. So we can, for instance, I know we are on the doubts now, but the do's are, for instance, that we link them with a pastor, with a teacher, with a social worker, with a psychologist, with a doctor, with a psychiatrist.
Mm.
And we encourage the clients to express their feelings, and we are available, supportive, and empathic.
Okay.
And we take everything that they say serious.
Okay. Yeah. And probably finally, on a World Suicide Prevention Day, what is your one message of hope for someone who is listening right now and feel completely alone?
I'm saying you are not alone. Reach out. Get help. Speak to somebody. Today, it feels like it is too much, like the world is coming to an end.
Mm.
But no problem lasts forever. In a few days, it will be over. Even if you don't have money today, maybe in a few days you will have money. But it is not a permanent thing.
Mm.
So what I'm encouraging is that we should not use a permanent solution for a temporary problem.
Mm.
Because problems are temporary.
Yeah.
And please talk to somebody. Yelp is just a call away, just around the corner.
Mm. So, Mrs. Elzebub, so thank you actually for making time to talk to us on here on Eagle FM and on specifically on Unpacking the Day, and for actually, giving us some insight on how, you know, to handle issues when they come around, especially for those of our loved one who may want to end their own life. And thanks for also highlighting some signs that we can look at for ourselves and also for our loved one as well. Thank you for coming through.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Have same to you, Ne.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That was a psychologist, a clinical psychologist, Elsa Brenton. Oh, I forgot the surname. All right. So, and let's quickly, we're going to also contact medical doctor, Dr. Henriette Paulus, and see what she have to say for us on this day of World Suicide Prevention Day. So stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Omutiha, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Gotisamwini, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika. Saithanina, Omeaguro, Nirandisoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe 23 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarajeta tuimu. Datundatu, heari jamanotano, oaniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 27 minutes past the hour of nine. I've been trying to get to Dr. Henriette Paulus, and the call go unanswered. It's just ringing. So maybe we can try and call her a bit later. But you're most welcome to come through. And we have your now. We have actually looked at the first item that we were discussing earlier on. So you're also welcome to come through and probably focus on that, or you're welcome to come through and talk about the discussion that I have with Elsa there. So our telephone number, our line is open now. 08-111-08-333-6609. 08-333-6691.
Good morning.
Morning, wife.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, good.
Mm.
Yeah, today I come early.
Yeah, no, it's true. Usually you come to the very last minute, you know?
Yeah. So the last topic is very important.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we have the first one.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, which is the one that is driving people to life challenge and all of that.
Yeah.
So, for now, we cannot comment on the last one, but we know it's the cause of life challenge.
Exactly. No, it's all right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So, for this issue of pressed and to addressing the issue that is affecting the nation out there for certain period of, say, decades, is that I don't know whether we have expert into advising us where to invest in our money, because if you look at the government, it's located money and funding to those ideas, which is, no matter we say, idea is worth nothing unless the progress is really attended, and the revenue is when you see that is the outcome of that, you pumping it in. But to as I have been addressing the issue of processing.
Yeah,
for this stage, we are not yet on the stage of processing, no matter we are also starting to talking about the product and the producer and product and what is still in the same issue. So Namibia is good when it comes to tracing finance into funding their program, as I said before. But who are the advisor? Who are the supervising of those projects? Who are the analyzing of those projects, whether they can be
viable,
surviving, viable,
sustainable,
surviving, sustainable in the long run.
Yeah.
So those are the problems that if I have been looking the other countries, and that they were also having life expectation, which was to 30 to 45, but now they are in 70 because the nation is happy. Because of they have been venturing within the world of trading. They are even now they are the fourth richest country in the world because of understanding that you need to hire the basin so that you can train your people. But not in what you are seeing that's happening in Nigeria. You can say even Namibia can do that. So those are the problems, because when we are investing in our people, in the national project, we have no competitors. Since 1990 up to today, we have no a minister that you can point or a director that you can point and say he has been doing better wherever he landed. So those are the problems that the tax collectors, we have a lot of them. Those are now, some they are even participating in corruption so that they can be elite and all of that, which is not a competition of the world, as I said on Monday.
Do you think let's say, for example, this 5-year plan, let's say, for example, 5-year in power, that also contributed to our quick fixing. Like, okay, I'm in power for 5 years and I need to show that I'm doing something. So therefore, you more actually, you know, want just to do things as quick as possible, but sometimes it may not be sustainable.
Yeah, it helps, because if you look at what happened,
does it contribute to the short sighting? Does it contribute to a short sighted kind of planning?
Yeah, but 5 years is a long term in progress in business.
Yeah,
because 3 years is the expectation of your failure or your success. Yeah, so those are now that what's happening in South Africa, it was the same issue when they were locating the farms into the Africana. So they give them 3 years to prove that you can be owning the farm. If you are not proving within that in 18 months, so you are out from the agri-bank, you are out from the government land, because they were not buying land. No. Mm. They were locating according to their project plan. So, and it was helping a lot, and even South Africa wanted to adopting that. So, but it's still a challenge. But here in Namibia, as I said,
people are trying to be elite. So when this money allocated now to them, they're starting to buy in power.
Mm.
Instead of investing in their business or focus on their business. So those are the problems that, if you see now the government allocating money into the green scheme,
yeah.
The Ministry of Agriculture is now calling the supervisor, which are asking that, the director is now asking that where the money goes. But sometimes those are not predicted, for example, the insect attack, yeah, it might end up needing more money because of that, or the water pump is not pumping the way they are expecting, or the, because of the climate changing and the weather, what.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, the project or the green scheme can end up failing,
yeah,
because of that. So at the end of the day, as I said, we need the expert that they can say for us to reaching our target.
Yeah.
Is when we are allocating and saving of this money. So that is how Namibia need to. And for example, the milk processing, I even talk about it. As now they are saying, let us starting now processing.
Yeah.
We don't have more milk at all. Those cows from Holland or whatever.
Mm.
So we were having, I think, Bon Farm and Rietfontein and others. I don't know whether we're still having those farms who are wanting those cattle. So at the end of the day, we might end up buying those machines to give to our farm or to our companies. At the end of the day, we are wasting money again.
Exactly.
So we have to look. Yeah, I understand, as I said, the song is the same as President, as our founding president was doing.
Yeah.
It was doing better, but the management, it was not doing proper. Even into the water supply, rural water supply, it was a good planning. That is when they putting on on the hand of the communities where you end up, water not reaching where it need to reach.
Now, so think about this. I have this two scenario. Okay.
Yeah.
So imagine you have 1 billion to spend now on agro processing. Now, do you, first, the scenario A, do you build one small basic processing facility in each of the region, in each of the 14 region? Or B, scenario B, build maybe, let's say, two or three state-of-art, world-class industrial, really, factory. So, in a strategy, you build that now in a strategic location that can process good now from all the surrounding regions. So, which option is actually better? Because what I'm looking at is that with the smaller one in the regions, you know, you actually, what is that? You divide this money in the 14 region, which might struggle for profit, and they may lack also the scale to compete with big producers in South Africa, for example. So, but if you have this big two or three, you know, world class, state of the art, and also built to compete on the global level, so then that makes sense for me, isn't it?
Yeah. The second one is good.
Yeah.
But remember, in black, how do I say, the black community or what, everybody wanting to be a part of the pie.
Yeah.
So those are also the sympathy of the failure.
Yeah.
Because we don't look at in the companies that we have in the country, as I'm always going to give an example of Bokomo and Namibi Mills.
Mm.
But if you look at what his founding president was doing to investing on Namibi Brewery, it was also doing good for them to developing the country. As you can see, the Venarist was also a part of that because of part of the development program.
Mm.
That is helping also to contribute to the job creation.
Yeah.
But if we end up saying, let's give Mike to running his in North Duval, and Mr. Andrew in Orwakana and what.
Mm.
So one of those, you will end up saying, no, me, I don't have what is. I don't have a supplier. Mm. I'm lacking of this and that.
Mm.
So at the end of, as I said, we might end up spending more money because we have to learn a lot from those Minister of Trade and Industry who was losing about 700 million. And we have also to look at what is happening to Agribank, who was also from funding about 600 million. I think all of them we need to, I think President need to sit with those people and say it, what went wrong to those people that we have been funded. So at the end of the day, the last caller on Monday was challenging me that if you look at the processing and the stealing argument of the African resources, it's not that, as I said, we don't have a negotiators that have benefiting of the nation.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, those are the development, as I said here, we don't have a job creators. The government is not a job creators. We're expecting the Namibians to be given money and creating jobs.
Yeah.
But for them, it's an opportunity to be a elite group. So when you go, when you located that money to him, he will not do as he was saying. And that is where the problem. Yeah, I hope the president will be understanding that it's not a matter of locating money here.
Mm.
It's a matter who is capable of doing it.
Yeah.
Mm. So those are the issues that need to be addressed. And those are the issues that we can even choosing that. What if we give Bokomo, or what if we give Rietfontein, or what if we give Bon Milk what? Those people, are they, how many people they are going to hire in the long run of this 200 million that we are having in hand? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, the other will be also starting, the smaller one that we see in the market. We can also invite them and sit with the president and listen to them what they are saying, what is their challenging to reach their goals. Those are the things. As this 257 million that is given to the youth, it's also the same issue. All right, Mike.
All right, great, man. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
All right. Let me give you 3-4 minutes to see if I can get back to my doctor, because I promised to talk to them. So, all right. Very good. So let me give you, anyone who comes through for 2-3 minutes.
Very good morning.
Yes, Mike, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you? I'm now back.
Please, man. I'm giving you, no. I need to talk. I didn't speak to one of the doctor that I needed. I'll give you 2 minutes now. Yeah. Mm.
So, I think what is it that we should be done now in terms of those plans, reviving the green scheme, and the many other projects.
That need to be
revived.
Yeah.
Especially the new projects now that are coming. So what should be done? Should we now just, because of election, people should not develop? Or should we now stay fine because they failed in the past? Now there's no need again to revive them and start producing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's because of South Africa, whom have been supplying us with a lot of things. Is it now the fear of the competition? What is happening? Why should we just now stand idle? What?
Yeah.
I'm just asking because when those plants are getting off the ground, your conversation, according to the way and maybe the articles, I don't know, this is the article is, I did not ask how this project will be implemented, where the man comes from. But I believe there is also a fund, the government fund, that they have created. And they also have an entry point of public-private partnership. So are those not viable kind of entry point for you to start funding this project? Because when you want to fund a project, of course, money is created. So created from those activities that you want to carry on.
Yeah.
And therefore, you will then have money to sustain those projects.
All right.
So that is the point, because I'm hearing, no, this other one, what should people do?
Yeah.
If they can able to put a project in those regions, so that the people don't really need to import jobs. So it's a value addition is going to be done. So then let people do the work.
Okay.
Those claims are viable and promotable. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming through. All right.
All right. I promised to get back to my doctor, so let me just do that. Just stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Krokabuna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Safa, Nana, Longishifa, Yais, Yuita Moshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo Kotisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Faithanina, Omeakuro, Niranitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House, Way 23 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara ompashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa detu moambo dengera soma kodara heta tuimu datunda tu heari jamano tano o ambiachi Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political, or...
All right, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning, Doctor.
Yes, good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm doing well.
So, Matt, today is we're observing World Suicide Prevention Day, and some of the stats of our country are not really good reading. So, suicide rate we are among the highest in Africa. Actually, we're topping Africa. Yes. So, in 2023-2024 financial year, 542 individuals died by suicide, and with men accounting actually for about 82%. So, man, how serious is the suicide, the issue of suicide in Namibia right now?
Like you said, the numbers are really scary.
Yeah.
And us stopping the continent on its own should already alert that this is such a very serious pandemic that we are now facing as a country.
Mm.
And I think most especially because we are seeing more of the male gender, and now the question keeps, what are they doing that females are not doing, and why are men committing suicide? And that's the question that we are posing.
Yeah.
All these days.
Yeah. So you as a doctor, you're involved in one of the organizations that are actually trying to talk to young people in the parishes, in the university. So how do you help young people when it comes to this?
Okay, so as part of the Landoloka Counseling Association, which is a Catholic-based counseling association founded by the Vicar General, Father Werner Afunde, this is an association we go out in parishes where we reach young people and just educate them on what suicide or what mental health is and how to take care of their mental health and what to do and what not to do in terms of when you are in a crisis and when to reach out for help. We also teach young people, especially the high school learners, to identify people that are at high risk of suicide and how to go about it. What are the management steps that you do now when you identify somebody who might be at suicide risk? So that's basically what we do. And then we try also to link suicide with spirituality because it's a Catholic-based association.
So now, especially with young people, what are the factors that's really contributing to this crisis?
Yes, when you're talking about young people, we have to group them. We have the young working group. And when you look at that group, we think of financial distress. That's been the topic of the day, all these days. Everyone is talking about financial distress that is causing mental crisis among young people, especially in the working group. And then we then look at the younger ones in high school, because we still have kids that are in high school that are also committing suicide. And then you ask yourself, what are they really going through at this stage in life? So somebody say it could be peer pressure, it could be pressure from the family, it could be just also them not having a proper self-image, maybe having a distorted self-image that just makes them think that life is no longer worth it. But the most common one that we have seen, statistically speaking, by the Namibians who have just reported a few weeks ago, is financial distress. And because everything involves finances, for you to keep a relationship, you need to have better finances. For you to have your family together, you need finances. So I think finances is a topping cause of suicide in our society.
Yeah. You as a doctor, how often, let's say for example, physical health issues like could be chronic pain or serious diagnosis, how are these actually linked to suicide?
So as far as I have observed, a lot of these physical, like you mentioned, pain, they do cause depression, okay, because nobody, this is something that is just new in your life and nobody is going to really find it easy to adjust, adapt to that physical pain that you have heard now, that you now have in your life that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
So as time builds up, it will cause depression, and depression is the one that is associated with suicide, and that is how now these medical conditions come into play a role in suicide. For example, also just somebody with maybe recently diagnosed with HIV/AIDS or just any other medical condition, maybe somebody who recently got amputated, all these things just lead to depression, and depression will subsequently lead to suicide.
So there is also a cultural, I would call it a cultural factor, which is a culture of silence, especially when it comes to men. So, so culturally, it can be difficult to talk about feelings, especially for men. How does this culture of silence impact our men and boys?
Yes, so growing up, men are taught to be men.
Yeah.
And as a man is defined by you being able to stand up in whatever situation you are caught in. And now this has therefore now shifted. So when a man is in any crisis, they don't speak out. But nowadays, we have always been encouraging men to speak out, to speak up. But again, you hear people saying that even if I speak up, who is going to help me? People are going to judge me. And so already from that cultural perspective of a man being able to be a man and be silent, it's already causing them to have very bad medical-seeking behavior. So you rarely find a man coming out there and going to, for example, another man to talk about their mental health. And this is because they think they'll be judged, they fear the stigma, and all they think is suicide is a solution. So most of the people prefer dying in silence than speaking up, and that stems from our cultural beliefs and cultural upbringing.
Now, maybe for friends or for a teacher or for a parent listening right now, what are the most common warning signs that we might miss, you know, being an ordinary person? Maybe there is some signs that some warning these people are showing, but we miss those. What are the common ones?
So the common ones, so especially when the person is, for example, crying out for help, we often see maybe them posting on social media that now if the person has a smartphone in those, show those subtle signs. But for somebody who is really determined to commit suicide, most of the time they stay silent, and it's very hard for you to really pick it up, because remember, life is also busy, gets busy. So somebody might not really notice that this person has been quiet for long. And like I said, these are people that are depressed. So when you are depressed, you sort of like isolate yourself. You see this person is no longer active on social media, and you ask yourself, what is going on? This person used to post every day, now they're no longer posting. Are they okay? And these are not really signs of depression, suicide per se, but these are signs of a depressed patient. And like I said, depression can lead to suicide. So the warning signs of depression, which include now isolation and just changing behaviors. For example, this is somebody that used to like going out, and now all of a sudden they no longer go out. Or you know that your friend was in a relationship and now they broke up with a partner. Then you know one of them is most likely to suffer depression because of these adjustment issues now they are going through. And otherwise, for adults especially, you hear somebody maybe telling you over the phone goodbye instead of good night. That could also be a sign like, did you really mean goodbye? Maybe you should just probe more into what the goodbye really means. Or otherwise, other people, if you're handshaking, somebody might be handshaking, like the grip might be tighter than usual.
Yeah.
So those are also some of the signs that people have picked up. And other signs are just really just changing behavior. So it really is up to us to know our very close relatives and our close friends, how they behave, and any change should alert us to actually see and just check up on our friends. But then otherwise, suicide itself doesn't really have symptoms, unfortunately, unlike other diseases or other crises. Yes.
Okay. Now, if we suspect a friend or a loved one is suicidal, what is the most important first step to take?
The first step, depending on the distance. So if it's a person that is close, or maybe you are living in the same compound with them. So the first thing is to never leave them alone, okay? And that's what you call suicide watch. Have somebody to watch over that person, because nobody is going to commit suicide in front of you, unfortunately. And otherwise, if you are not in close proximity with a person, you have to find somebody who might be in close reach with the person and just warn them. Do not make it obvious that they know of what they want to do, but just make sure that this person is surrounded by people every time. Because you hear stories that, no, this person was with us in the house, and then 1 minute later they escaped. The next thing, we started looking for the person and we found them changing somewhere. So the step is, don't ever allow them to be alone. Because even people that hear voices telling them to commit suicide, they get intense when you are alone. So always have a suicide watch. Make sure that there's somebody. If there's no one around them and you're on a phone call with them, keep the phone call for long. Continue talking to this person over the phone. Continue just having a call. Just keep them busy, basically. Keep them busy and have somebody to watch over them.
And before I let you go, what are the biggest barriers that stops Namibian from seeking professional help when they really need it?
The first barrier would be cultural, like we said already, the cultural barriers that are existing. And also the other one is that there's lack of trust per se when it comes to professionals that are in this fraternity. So people actually don't trust professionals, they don't think it will actually help them. And then also spiritual factors, such as thinking that it's a spiritual thing and medical help won't really assist them. So you find that people prefer going to churches than taking them to the hospital. And also another thing is that some patients, for example, if they are depressed and you have to start them on medication, they already think these are psychotic medications, they say like what 16 medications, and this makes them have already the stigma that they are not mentally ill, and any medications that they are getting is for the psychotic patients. So they don't really establish the differences between different mental health illnesses, such that when they come, even if you start them on medications, they might not really have a good insight to take these medications because they think they are being treated for something else, which is already stigmatized. So those are the biggest three factors. But otherwise, mostly it's just the trust and also cultural beliefs.
And finally, today is we're observing the World Suicide Prevention Day. What is your one message of hope for someone who's listening right now and feeling completely alone?
Just remember that every black storm will come to an end. This is not going to last forever. Yes, it might look like it's taking forever, but it shall pass. It's just a matter of you being patient. And being patient starts with you being patient with yourself, with your feelings, and just with everyone else. Otherwise, reach out whenever you feel in need, and do not hesitate help when it's granted upon you.
Dr. Paulus, thank you for making time and talk to us on this very important day, and for your insight on this crisis, actually. So, and it was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, too.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. And that was Dr. Henrietta Paulus from the Central Hospital, I think. Yeah, from the Central Hospital. So, all right. Very good morning.
Can I hang up?
Oh, yeah. So, all right. So, well, 2 minutes past the hour of 10. 2 minutes past the hour of 10. Actually, that's bring us also to the end of our discussion this morning. And that's all that time we have for, unfortunately, for unpacking the day. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for those who call in and contribute to our discussion. And thank you also for our guests that we have, especially on this day. I wanted to bring in some people, especially because this is actually a crisis in Namibia. So I'm your host, Michael Chiavelli, reminding you to stay informed and stay engaged, you know. And join me again tomorrow at the same time, at the same place, at the same radio station here on Eagle FM as we continue to make sense of our world. So I want to leave you in a great, great, great hand of Tate France is coming up with Kutha Mosha coming up right away. We're crossing to Windhoek. So have a great morning, Namibia.